You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, the importance of being intentional when it comes to completing projects, tasks, or managing relationships. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage: How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to another edition of Live, Love, Engage, one of my favorite types of episodes is when I get to interview people. And I have a lovely guest on the program who I know her through a networking group that we both belong to, a Women's Prosperity Network. And I am delighted to welcome this lovely woman to Live, Love, Engage today. Her name is Carol Pilkington. So welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Gloria. I appreciate you the opportunity.
Well, yeah, I'm intrigued when you how the process goes for getting on the show. For those of you who may wonder, I have a form to fill out, and the topic that Carol put down there really intrigued me. So, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But first, I need to explain to you, those of you who are listening and those of you watching on YouTube, just who Carol is. So she is a spiritual teacher and minister with over 30 years of metaphysical practice and training experience. And she takes her students on a path to a deeper understanding and self-awareness of who they really are, regardless of one's faith, religion, or spiritual background, and helps them discover answers through a combination of contemplation and inquiry, and allows them to live life on their own terms as their own authority. And that fits in with our theme of our show, because yeah, I'm all about helping people to live fully. That's where the live and live, love, engage comes from. So I love that you're doing that. And I like to start the show usually by asking our guests a little bit about their journey. So how did you get to where you are today? What prompted you to become interested in, I guess, in metaphysics and spirituality, and to become a minister of all things as well?
You know, I think it's something that I came into the world as, you know, I felt like I had a calling from a very young age. I had an experience when I was around 8 or 9, maybe 10, about having or being more than just this body and this personality called Carol. Mm. And that I was connected to something bigger than what we know in the physical realm. And that the physical and the non-physical are interconnected, they're netted, and they are not really separate. I felt deeply, I had an experience of that at a very core level, that I was part of a larger whole, if you will. Because mm-hmm. I feel and have experienced that there are holes within holes. And we as individuals are whole unto ourselves. And that we are each whole, a whole, W-H-O-L-E.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we should probably make sure that people are thinking, wait a minute, yes. I don't want to be thinking of myself as like a hole in the ground.
Right.
So thank you for clarifying.
Absolutely. I had that intuitive message coming through that I needed to clarify which hole I meant.
English language. Oh, I tell you.
I know. Our language is very functional, mm-hmm. you know? And we have to be sometimes very precise, but also be metaphorical as well. So mm-hmm. it's a kind of creative process to be able to communicate with one another so that we understand one another mm-hmm. and that we're received the way we want to be received, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, yes.
So that's been my part of my journey. So, you know, life took over. I went the usual corporate route and I was not especially happy because I felt that there was something deeper within me that I needed to be able to express, but still didn't know how to. And so I was in the corporate world for 30 years. And by the time I was ready to leave, I went on my own deeper journey of discovering who I am and raising my own consciousness to a place where I felt that I needed to give back what I had learned and experienced. And so that's what led me to where I am today. I started out doing astrology. I'm still an astrologer, transpersonal astrologer. And what that means is that I come from a human level, that using astrology helps one to discover that they are more than just the body, that they are more than just, you know, here to exist, simply exist, but there's more to us than that.
I like that. Yeah.
And then it took me off into all these other realms of spirituality and helping people on their own transformational journey.
So what prompted you to become a minister?
It was something that I felt at the time was important for people to understand that spirituality was not just a cornerstone of religion, of organized religion.
Right.
And so I wanted to be able to offer people a way to tap into their spirituality that didn't necessarily just resonate with the organized religion of spirituality, but that there was more to spirituality than that, if that's something that did not speak to them. Right. And so I did add minister to my calling because I wanted to let people know that there were all kinds of ministerings out there.
Gotcha. When you talk about spirituality and religion, what do you feel is the maybe biggest, I don't know if I want to say necessarily biggest difference, but how are they different? Let's just say that, or are they, let's just go there.
Well, it's interesting because I actually had a conversation with someone from a non-denominational church, or actually, no, it wasn't. It was a Christian church. Mm. And it kind of put him back on his heels when I described my sense of spirituality. And I said, spirituality is the nature of who we are. Mm. And we are here to discover or rediscover, if you will, what and who we are as spiritual beings, spiritual entities, because that is our foundation for being in this human form. To my experience, it's about being here to learn lessons and discover our true nature, which is love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the core of every esoteric teaching, whether it's from esoteric Christianity or any other religion, the core of its teachings or disciplines is that we are love. And that there are other ways to access that and that understanding and that knowing that isn't from necessarily a religious place.
Right.
And when I said that to him, he was taken aback because, quite honestly, he recognized the arrogance that he was carrying around being a religious entity and feeling like the religious community or structure had the cornerstone on spirituality. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful conversation. And we have such wonderful conversations to this day sometimes. Mm. And he's very loving, very giving. And I was able to be that honest with him about it. And he really appreciated it.
Mm. That's awesome. I love that. And it's interesting. I think religion comes down to structure, I suppose. And there's, you know, different ways to study or different ways to learn and different ways to behave in a sense. And whereas, as you say, spirituality is more really about how are we showing up? How are we being? And to be able to get to know that true nature, because as you say, I agree with you. We are all spiritual beings. We're not our body, because there is something inside of us that is aware of our body. So we can't be the body. So it has to be something bigger. I want to go and explore some other stuff in a minute. But first, I want to focus in on, as I teased a little bit at the beginning, that the topic you talked about or you submitted on your form intrigued me no end, because it was talking about, it was saying completing cycles of action is something that you like to talk about. And I'm like, what the heck is a cycle of action? So I'm asking you, could you please explain what is that and why is it important that we need to complete them, I guess?
Thank you for asking that. It's something that changed my life completely. So a cycle, it has a beginning, middle, and end. Mm. Everything has a beginning, middle, and end. And when we begin something, then we start the process of it. And then there's something that happens to end it. Mm. And it's complete, hopefully. Mm. And when cycles are not complete, then they're open-ended things that keep running through the mind of like they're untethered and they haven't been severed and cut in order for something else to begin. Mm. So completed cycle is something that, for instance, we're having a conversation. We started this conversation back in January. And there was a period of time where we lost communication, we got back in touch, and here we are. We're having a conversation, a live conversation. And when this conversation is ended by ending the Zoom call, right?
Right.
The conversation will be done. It will be completed. And hopefully, both you and I, at the end of the conversation, will feel complete so that we can have open space to move on to something else. And we will not have to think about this again as something that's unfinished.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I was starting to think about, is that it's that... what's going on? You know, it becomes stressful because it's like, okay, we were doing something and then we lost track. And it's like, because then you start making up stories, don't you? About like, you know, what's going on with the person, or is it something I said or something they said, or what the heck happened? And that's sort of the conflict, I guess, that would come from, right? When you don't get to complete it.
That's exactly right. And this is part of what happens in a lot in a lot of our relationships is that we might have, say, a difficult or a sensitive conversation with another, and we are left feeling unsatisfied or hurt, but we don't address it. We just kind of let it slide, right?
Right.
So that leaves the whole experience open, still open-ended.
Yeah.
And not complete. And that happens numerous times throughout our lives. And it becomes an accumulated thing. And when that happens, we have this crew that never rests. The mind never rests.
Right.
All the shouldas, couldas, and wish I had, wish I hadn't. All those conversations are going on in the mind constantly. And if it's like a weight that follows us around. So when we can be intentional in our relationships or any other thing that we're attempting to do in life about making sure that we feel complete in every single moment with whatever it is, the person that we're with having a conversation, that we feel heard and that they feel heard and that we feel received and vice versa. And not taking anything that we say or do for granted, that the other, you know, that the other person should, or we think, you know, should know or understand even.
Yeah.
Never taking anything like that for granted.
Absolutely. Or not doing like my mother always told me, never assume, because you just make it, you know, an ass out of you and me. And that's part of that. You can't assume that either they heard you correctly or that they didn't. And I know even, a lot of people who are watching the show are women entrepreneurs. And I know that's one of the things that when I first got into business, one of the things I learned somewhere along the way was to restate back and say, okay, so as I understand it, this is what you want me to do, X, Y, Z. And just to be able to confirm that, because our brains, we're not totally listening. We're not necessarily, or we're hearing, but we're not really listening. I think, is that how it goes? Sometimes we can hear the sound, but we're focusing, our brain is focusing on the next question. And that was one thing I had to learn when I was doing podcasting, was to be more present with the guests. So I wasn't always just focused on what am I going to ask next, but to really hear you, to hear your answer, so that then I could say, oh, okay, this makes me think of that. Are there other, which is making me think of, are there any other tips that you have when you're maybe explaining this concept to people of what they can do to be able to make sure that cycle is complete?
Yeah. One of the things that I actually did mention was be intentional about what you're saying. Don't use jargon if you're in a particular industry. Don't use acronyms that you think people should understand and know. People use acronyms, and one acronym can mean multiple things, right?
That's true. I found that. I've Googled that before and went, oh, no, that's not the one I'm looking for.
Yeah. So be clear. Be intentional and be clear about what you are saying, and be cognitive of how a person is receiving you. So if a person looks like their eyes are glazing over, stop. Stop and say, I doesn't look like I'm being clear. What can I say, or how can I say it differently to help you be clear on what I'm saying? Because if your intention is to have another understand what you're saying, then you might have to ask the question, or might have to restate something in a way that they hear it.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times on the receiving end, people, like you were saying, sometimes people listen for a way, not listening per se, but listening so that they can get their word in. They're listening for how can I get what I need to say in and interrupt and jump in, which totally disrupts the flow. So if you're going to have a conversation with someone, be aware of your inclination to interrupt, to jump in, because that's not listening. That's not being present, as you were saying before, with the person. So listen intently, receive intently, and then the flow of the conversation will go a lot easier and smoother, and the connection is much more alive.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking in my own life, and I definitely am guilty of this, and I'm saying I am guilty of it because I do find there are certain situations, conversations I'm in where I do want to just like, I want to get in there. It's like, oh, she said something good. I want to respond. I want to get to it. And I'm thinking, and I would love your opinion on this, is it because we don't trust ourselves?
Good question. I think that's a very valid point, that we don't trust ourselves to remember what we want to say. But if we just trust the flow of the conversation, what we wanted to say might not have been as important as what is going to happen next. Mm. There are so many things that happen in a conversation where we want to get our point across, that we want to be heard. We just want to be heard. Just hear me. Right. And there's this anxiety around it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just go with the flow. And if it's supposed to be said, there'll be a time for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I have learned to have conversations with people. Yeah, I agree with you. There have been times when I have wanted to just say, oh my gosh, I totally resonate with what you're saying. I want to say this in relation to that.
Yeah.
But I've had to hold on and allow the person to finish so that they don't lose their train of thought, so that they don't, the flow doesn't get interrupted. Mm. And that's so much more important to me now than interrupting and, you know, getting my point across.
Thank you for that. Because it really is driving home for me that, well, and even realizing that when we can trust to, as you say, you know, go with the flow, let the other person fully answer. And then even if we do either lose what we were going to say, but still have the faith that if it's really, really important, it'll come back up again and we'll have another chance to say it. And so for instance, in this conversation, I had a thought earlier and I just let it go. So trusting that, okay, it'll come back. This is one of the challenges, I think, with texting and email, because, you know, when you mentioned earlier about, you know, seeing someone's eyes glaze over, well, we can't see that in a text very well. So that's where I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we really have to be super careful about the words, whether we're all caps or not. Some people take that the wrong way as shouting and things like that. What's been your experience with that in this day and age that we live in now? So it's not so much face-to-face, except for thankfully when we have Zoom.
That's so true. It's so true. I had to instruct someone not too long ago when they were working for someone else. They were representing someone else. And I said to them that you're putting an exclamation at the end of something, and, you know, the punctuation and the caps, they all speak shouting or pointing the finger out, whatever the case may be, however the sentence or what was said, the context of it was, you know, and they didn't realize. And I said it in a very gentle way, because I knew that they probably didn't mean it the way it was possibly coming across.
Right.
And they really appreciated it. And it just made her more aware how we relate to one another in written form, whether it's an email or text. We just have to be very, very careful because we can't see a person's facial expressions or body language on how they're receiving anything. Mm. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that we have to be careful of.
Mm, absolutely. What is your favorite thing about working with clients? What really lights you up about that, the work you do?
Oh, my. Their sense of urgency. The perfect client is one who feels the sense of urgency to learn the lessons that they're here to learn, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. Some people believe in reincarnation, and they feel that they don't want to come back and repeat the same things over and over again. But they want to be done with this lesson, whatever this lesson might be.
Right.
And so that's so wonderful for me, because that means that they're really ready to go through the process. Mm. They might not know how it's going to turn out. They might not know or even be scared about how it's going to progress. But they feel determined. They feel that sense of urgency and immediacy that I have to do this. Mm. I have to do it now because I don't ever want to repeat it again. And I don't want to keep repeating it in the life that I'm still living now.
Right. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. I can relate to that. Yeah. I don't want to keep making the same mistakes over and over again.
Right.
Absolutely. You just mentioned something that triggered me. So what is a commonly held belief that you passionately disagree with?
Boy, that's a good one. That we don't matter. That, there are so many people out there that feel like they don't either do enough, aren't enough, and don't matter. Whatever they say or do isn't going to matter. Mm. But as I was saying before, we are all holes within holes within holes and within holes and a bigger hole. And each one of us is here for a purpose. Whether it's for another to see something, for another to learn a lesson from whatever we are saying or doing, good, bad, or indifferent, we're serving a purpose. We matter. And it's really important to recognize that. Mm. And when we recognize the fact that we matter, life takes on a whole new meaning. And we can approach life in a different way. There's a lot of nihilism out there right now. And people generally are feeling lost. Doesn't seem to be a lot of love being generated. Mm-hmm. But we are that. And we can't receive love if we don't come from love. Because what we put out there, we're going to get in return. It's going to mirror back at us, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the most important thing for me to have people understand, is that they matter.
What do you, when you're working with a client, and let's say they come to you, and that is, as you're talking to them, you're realizing that that's really kind of the core of what is showing up in their life, because that ultimately is what happens. How do you start helping them to see that they do matter? And especially, let's just say if someone were listening to this podcast right now and is going, I don't, I don't know why I'm here. How would you help them to start figuring out why they're here?
Well, first of all, it's a matter of having a conversation about that underlying belief system, about what makes them feel like they don't matter. There are a lot of things that have happened in a life where a person has come to that conclusion about themselves. And so it's about uncovering the nature of that belief system. And when we can uncover the nature of that belief system, that's a starting point. And we can go up from there. It's all about asking the right questions in the right way, because it's putting the responsibility back on the client to understand the nature of where that belief system came from and what it is. And then, you know, I let them know that you matter simply because you exist. It's just a fact. It's a biological fact.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's another place I start. So, and then we go from there. Because we are the meaning makers. It's not about life giving us meaning. It's about us giving life meaning. It's a big difference.
Yeah, it is interesting that that is what makes us human beings so different from the rest of the world, natural world out there. I think I was reading something somewhere, or maybe it was on a workshop I was on recently, where talked about how birds don't care about, you know, feelings, whatever. They just go. They go where they're supposed to go. They find food. They fly and whatnot. But they're not so obsessed about their meaning. They just know that they are part of the world, and they do their thing. And we need to do our thing too, and not be so necessarily so obsessed sometimes about some of these things that we either can't control or, oh, I'm not sure what point I'm trying to make anymore. Oh, well, anyway, I'm going to let that go for now. If you could learn the answer to one question, what would the question be?
That's a good question. You know, I live in present time most of the time. And I think for me, the larger question that I'm looking to delve into, the inquiry, I call it more of an inquiry and not necessarily looking for an answer per se. So my questions these days more about what is next? What more is there for me to learn? What more can I learn that I don't already know? Because I'm always open. I want to always be open to what I don't know, I don't know.
Right.
And I'm really, really happy and secure in the mystery of life. I used to be so deathly afraid of the unknown. Getting on a plane, worrying about my luggage, worrying about whether the plane's going to fall out of the sky, whether, you know, things I could not control, as you were saying.
Right.
And when I finally got through my own inner fears of just being, being in the world, I was able to rest in the unknown. And it's a beautiful feeling, because I don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. And I'm really okay with that.
makes life exciting and definitely, I think it helps you to be able to then handle the changes that come along, because as we've certainly had a lot of changes over the last couple of years. So yeah, when you can be not overly concerned about it and just be curious about, I wonder what's going to happen next. It takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Yeah.
It really does. Our ability to create is enormous in that state.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Because we are creative beings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of power in that.
Mm. Yeah. This has been a really good conversation. I've been enjoying it. Is there anything that I haven't asked that I should have? Any other, or else any other point that you really want to drive home and make sure people hear today?
You know, someone asked me what advice I would give my 22-year-old self.
Mm.
And I really thought about that, and I felt that I would say, don't take yourself so seriously.
Oh, yes.
Don't take yourself so seriously, and there is no right or wrong answer. We grow up with having to learn material, and we have to have the right answer to everything. We have to know everything. Well, no, we don't. You get out into the real world, there's no way in hell that you're going to know everything. You can't know it. So be okay with not knowing. That, if I would say the biggest thing for me was be okay with not knowing. It's like a total flip on one's butt, if you will, from what we were grown, what we were told we needed to do when we were growing up. You have to know this and you have to know that. No, I don't. Not yet. Not right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that gets you into that place of being, I wonder what's going to happen next. You're much more open to it. So they do go along very well together. So that's excellent. If someone is listening to this conversation today or watching it and would like to know more about you and the work you do, I assume I know we said that you're a teacher and you probably do, have like sessions. I don't know if you work one-on-one or group or however you work, but how can people get in touch with you and find out more information about you?
Well, they can reach out to me through my website, carolpilkington.com. And I'm also doing a Creating Joyful Relationships course that's starting this Thursday. I don't know if there's a link or anything that I can provide people, but it's going to be a 6-month course once a month, and then we're going to meet in between for support and Q&A.
Hmm. All right. Is this something that you will probably do again? Because actually, as the time we're recording this, it's going to come out after you've already started the course. So when people are going to be hearing this, you'll probably be in the middle of the course. But
well, people can also, I like to offer people a free gift. It's a free soulfilledlivingquiz.com.
Okay.
So they can take that self-assessment and there'll be a free gift for that. So it's kind of nice to know where you are on your journey and where you're going or where you feel that you need to learn some lessons.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I will be sure. Go ahead. Say it again.
Called www.soulfilledlivingquiz.com.
Okay. And as I was just going to say, though, is in case you're somewhere listening to this and you don't have a pen handy, if you're driving, it will be in the show notes. So you go to liveloveengagepodcast.com and get Carol's episode. You'll see all that information there. And, so this was a lovely interview. I had a good time. I hope you did too. And I know I've learned
time.
A lot. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. And wish you all the luck and success in your future endeavors and seeing what happens next.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Gloria. I really appreciate it. It was lovely.
And I want to also thank all of you for listening and watching. And I really appreciate you because you're what helps keep me going every day. And if you got some value out of today's episode, I hope you'll share it with a friend and ask them to subscribe if they're not subscribed already. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You: How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.